The spiel is sponsored by Bezier Games, publisher of One Night Ultimate Werewolf, a microgame version of the classic party game of mob mentality that doesn't need a moderator and plays in 10 minutes. There's a werewolf in the village, and over the course of one night and the following morning, players will determine who among them is a werewolf, you hope. Available now. For more information, visit beziergames.com. And by Greater Than Games, publisher of Sentinels of the Multiverse, Wrath of the Cosmos, a new expansion for the cooperative comic book card game. Two new cosmic heroes, four villains, and two out-of-this-world environments. Pick your hero and team up to defend the world from threats beyond our galaxy. Available for pre-order now at sentinelsofthemultiverse.com. From their padded cell in the Game Salute booth in downtown Indianapolis, this is The Spiel,
a show about games and the people who love them.
Gen Con
2014. We are pleased to welcome Kevin Cook back to the padded cell to talk about dice. Why? Because Kevin Cook is the owner of the world's largest dice collection. Kevin, welcome back. It's great to see you again this year.
Thank you very much.
Honorary spieler at this point.
Absolutely, absolutely. This has kind of become a thing every year. We have to get together and we kind of take a look at all of the dice that Kevin's had a chance to collect throughout the year. Maybe a little talk about the state of dice, any new things that are coming to the manufacturing of dice. And then, of course, we talk about all the dice that Kevin is searching out here at the convention, which is actually growing so much that it takes almost the full 3 or 4 days. Am I right, Kevin, for you to actually get all of your dice?
Absolutely.
So let's start off with a total. So where are we last time? I remember we were upper 30s or 40?
Somewhere around there.
So what's the number?
49,390.
Wowzers. And that's not counting anything that you've picked up here at the con, right?
Correct.
Wowzers, that is awesome.
Do you think you'll tip over the 50K?
I'm hoping so, because I've got the 50,000th die right here.
Oh, exactly. Nice, We're going to talk about it, because that is gorgeous. So maybe let's just talk about a couple of things that you've picked up through the year that you think are unique and something people need to know about.
Absolutely. There is, starting with September of last year, there is a company called Griffin Design Studios.
Cool.
And this gentleman is able to get a hold of some pretty exotic hardwoods. And he hand makes hardwood dice.
Excellent.
And I really like his dice, because I've been woodworking for about 40 years.
Nice.
Okay, and of course, in October we had PAX.
Right.
Mm.
And the Key Workshop PAX commemorative set.
Sweet.
We added there.
The dice cup.
A little shout out to a fellow collector, Matthias Hoscheck in Berlin, Germany.
Nice.
He is the owner of the largest dice cup collection in the
world.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And he gave me some dice, so.
You guys could get together and make some noise.
Oh, absolutely. We trade back and forth across the Atlantic pretty regularly.
Fabulous.
It's a pretty interesting one by a young lady named Mavis Irvin.
Okay.
It's a D20 that's about, the size of those large foam D20s?
Absolutely. Mm.
So it's good. Plywood.
Plywood, and it's like five or six inches.
Yeah, it's laminated plywood.
I'm looking at a picture, and it looks gorgeous.
How heavy is that?
I was kind of surprised, because I'm used to high-density plywood for furniture.
Yeah. Right?
This was pretty light. It was probably just a... normal stuff that you'd use for walls and things like that.
Something that the everyday person could buy one of these if they wanted?
Well, not buy the D20, but could buy the plywood.
Cool.
All righty. Got another commemorative die from another collector, Michael Schaefer. Send another shout out to him.
Excellent.
And Q Workshop came up with a new, advertising die this year. And they came out with a whole bunch of different colors, and it's using some of the new designs, like the cyber fudge.
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
And so that's on the one side and so forth.
Excellent. They always have brilliant dice.
Another one from Michael Schaefer that he custom made. This was handmade.
And it looks to me like a crystal with, I'm trying to look at the picture, a crystal with something inside, or?
Well, no, it's actually, it's almost like traces on a motherboard.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
To me, it looks like ice.
It does.
Yeah, it totally does.
It's...
Alrighty, this was an interesting one. We never knew it, but as far as we can tell from all the research, that is the oldest D10.
Huh.
These are, and of this shape, you know, okay. of the standard shape. And they're probably from the 1920s or 30s.
Wow, maybe explain, I'm seeing the pictures here, but explain the unique shape of those
guys.
Well,
it really is the same as the, was it dipoly, dipyramidal. Uh-huh. D10, except for it's just a little bit more rounded.
It's quite a bit rounded. I've never seen anything like it.
What material are they made out of?
I think that they are actually made out of Bakelite.
That's what I would guess.
I would have guessed and, that, too.
Because the field, it's really dense.
Where did you stumble onto those?
eBay.
Wow.
Crazy. Crazy. They're beautiful.
1920s, you said?
Yep.
And just a real quick reminder, if you're hearing about some of these and you're really excited to see these pictures, you can always bop on over to dicecollector.com and check all these out because the pictures are wonderful.
Chessex outdid themselves this year.
Hmm.
I got the dice in June, so they don't count for the
right.
for the convention.
Exactly.
But this is by far my favorite. It's called Vibrant.
Okay, and it is vibrant. It's totally very carnival-y,
very swirly,
and at least three or four colors, pastel-y pinks and yellows, and it's a fabulous. I obviously need to get to their booth. I haven't done that yet, but those are very nice.
These are still for sale.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, and this we actually have the other color right in front of us. There's a company come out called the Dice Lab.
Correct.
And they made a custom shaped D24, D12, D60. D8 and an odd way of a new way that you haven't seen in a while,
right.
But this was patented a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Of D4 with the numbers on the ends,
exactly
instead of near the points or near the base.
They chop off the points and put them on the ends. So all those the 60, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the first time there's ever been a 60?
No, it's not the first time because there've been. Everything has been done on Shapeways.com.
Oh, right, exactly.
There just has not been a commercial run of a solid, hard plastic D60, and the Dice Lab has them.
Yeah, those are very cool and very affordable. You are guessing maybe $20-ish for a set of five of these guys?
Yeah.
Very nice. Check them out. It's thedicelab.com?
Yep, I believe so.
Very cool. And you're holding...
Yes.
One of, if not the final prototype, one of the final prototypes of a die that there are a lot of people waiting for, and that's the Rocket die.
From Game Salute.
From Game Salute, and I am also one of those people who are waiting, but you're lucky enough to have one, and that is really sweet looking.
Yeah, it is very nice.
I'm quite impressed.
So for people who have not seen them, it is a six-sided die. Actually, if you bought into the Kickstarter, you could have quite a bit more than just the D6. There's pretty much every polyhedral you need, but we're looking at the D6, and it is shaped like a 50s sci-fi rocket ship with the pips around the side, little window vents at the top, and fins at the bottom.
So this isn't a die with rockets on it.
No,
it's actually a rocket.
Like a rocket.
Die.
And this is the first time I've got to hold one. I've seen pictures, and it just makes me super excited for when these things actually finally ship out. It's really neat. It's going to make the game even have a more tactile feel to it. These are really nice.
And please, everybody who is waiting for their rocket dice, please be patient.
Absolutely.
It is worth it to wait for the time for good product.
Right.
I've seen the bad product as of today.
Right.
And they were very bad.
Exactly.
This is very good.
Yeah, I would like to think that everybody would not mind waiting that extra time to know that when it finally ships, you're going to have the best thing that they could manufacture. And at the start of the project, I know this was just kind of, an idea in somebody's mind. So the time that it takes to go from thinking of that to actually manufacturing something that's never been done before, completely unpredictable. So hopefully we're all excited and can be patient for that.
Quality is what matters in the end, right?
Exactly.
I believe.
Absolutely.
So is that, that's kind of a look back at some of the fancy schmancy stuff between now and last year?
The year in dice.
Excellent, excellent. Well, why don't, since you already alluded to it, why don't we go ahead and talk about your 50,000th commemorative anniversary, whatever, because it is, it's a Shapeways design and it's brilliant. Why don't you explain that?
Well, this is a die by Mick Trivia from Shapeways artist Mick Trivia.
Cool.
His name's Matthew Corlanese, and the only way to describe it is very similar to other 50-sided dice that you may or may not have seen, but imagine a 50-sided die inside a 50-sided cage. The die is smaller than the cage, and you can see it below there, but the cage on the outside is this black glossy material, which I developed secretly.
And then, yeah, they have, you can see through, the cage has a hole for every number, so it looks like, you know, golf ball-esque.
Yeah, it looks like a golf ball ate a 50-sided die.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. but it's very cool, and you have the only one, I assume?
Well, so far, I mean, you can still order them on Shapeways.
Gotcha. That's not fair. I think you should have to have 50,000 dice before you can actually get that.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to have this ready because I felt
not you not you personally. I think that only people that have 50,000 dice should be allowed to order one of those.
Oh, I see. No, not at all.
Very
not
selective.
All. Yeah, yeah.
I want people to be able to, if they want to have 50 dice, they can get the 50 milestone dice if they want.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And the next question I was going to ask you are about any kind of new breakthroughs or changes in dice, and I think you've brought 1d6 that certainly falls under that category that kind of premiered last year, and I've not had a chance to see it in use, but it's really cool. Why don't you tell us about this?
This is the Dice Plus.
Dice Plus.
From I believe the company is called Dice Plus.
Excellent.
Out of Poland. And this is a Bluetooth enabled. I believe it only works with Android, but it may actually work with
Apple.
Apple as well. I'm not 100% sure, but the company that makes the games for it is called Powered Board Games.
Excellent.
And I believe they're poweredboardgames.com.
Okay.
And they supply some free games, and then if you want, you can pay for additional games. And it's a six-sided die that in order to activate it, you turn it over twice. It then syncs up Bluetooth with your mobile device.
Nice.
And then you choose whatever game you want, and you roll. And the game will pick up on the number itself.
So do the games actually have a graphic of the die rolling when you do it, or does it just show you a result?
So far, of the two games that I have played with it, it just shows the result.
Okay, and what are those two games? I'm curious.
I would have to look back.
Okay. No worries.
There's like 30 games that they give you in a pack for free, and I just use them to prove that the die works.
Okay, excellent. Now,
I would think
that it would be quite more costly than it actually is, because we were guessing right around $40 or something. And for something as high-tech as a Bluetooth die, where each side actually lights up with the value, seems like it would be valued at more than that. So it's a great value, and it looks really super high-tech and futuristic. So I don't see how I can't own it. Oh, and the little faces.
The one face.
Oh, the one face slides up, and there's a little mini USB.
I think that's micro USB.
Okay. That is super cool.
But it comes with a charging cable, so you're good.
Excellent, excellent.
That's something, I wonder if that's something you two dice collectors ever thought you'd have to do. You know what, I need to charge my dice. That's not a phrase I would ever expect to have to say about my dice.
In D&D, no wait, I'm sorry, I can't go into that room, I need to charge my die.
My die's not charged yet.
Yeah, that is really neat. That's some tech that I think only is starting to test out where we're going to go with dice.
Oh, absolutely.
Super cool.
I'm hoping that the rumors are true that they're working on polyhedrals.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That would be sweet.
I didn't even realize I was the color that the numbers on each space were flashing blue, and then I saw green. So there's multiple colors for each side.
Oh, yeah.
That is just super spiffy. I can't say how cool that is.
I think that if we could get a hold of polyhedrals, because a lot of people are doing remote gaming now.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Role playing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, you can have online dice rollers that are, you know, multi-client, but you don't have that tactile feel.
Right, exactly. Yes. You get several things. You get the tactile feel. You get the person who's rolling feeling like they're having the control over actually rolling a die, and you got the person on the other end who feels like, well, that person's not cheating me out of anything. They're actually, they had to have rolled that, and it popped up on the screen. So that's a brilliant way. If we had to get rid of analog dice, I hope we never do. That's a really fun step.
So I have a question for you too. I know I asked about dice rings last year and definition of dice. So clearly, I mean, this is clearly a die. It just has an electronic component. Mm-hmm. But where do you stand on virtual dice in general? Are those just electronic randomizers? Or if there's an app that, you know, you shake and it's, you know, they're shaped like dice, they look like dice. Do those fall in the dice collector's point of view
Yeah, I think we would both agree that technically they are certainly just an electronic randomizer.
But I use them.
Yeah.
Because I'm going blind.
Yeah, but
I can shake a tablet and a great big 12 comes up.
Yeah. But I think you'll agree what one of the things that attracts us to dice is the tactile element
Absolutely.
That we were just talking about. And when we can take the technology to the point to where you're not just hitting a button and a number's coming up, when you can physically roll it, now it starts, for me at least, to feel like a real die.
Yes, yes. That was, you beat me to my follow-up question was, do you use, is that like an abomination? No, I don't. I would never use an electronic die. I know, Kevin, you've already said, no, that's not an issue with you.
Oh,
Dave,
yeah.
I don't know. I've never asked you probably as far as like electronic dice roller things. Would you just say, forget it? Get out of my house. Can't roll.
Until I saw this setting in front of me, I would say I want no part of rolling, you know, doing electronic die in a software, a program. But with this implementation, I have no problem with it. It's super cool.
So with that exception, you're...
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Sorry. Return to...
Nope. That's okay.
An interesting side note. I so seldom go to casinos because I just don't really care for them. But I went in June of this year, and they had electronic craps.
Absolutely. I've seen it. Wasn't that cool?
No.
I agree. I am totally with you.
That's the point.
No.
Craps, you roll a pair of dice.
But I thought the technical aspect, I assume you're talking about the one where there were physically big dice in a bubble.
These were virtual.
Oh, see, I've seen those where you actually swipe the screen.
Yes, that
and
was
those
it.
Roll the dice. Ugh. I've seen those. Now, I don't care for those particularly, and I really don't care for any electronic craps, but I really like the tech where the ones, there's a set of maybe 20 seats around a big bubble with dice. And so when you roll it physically, it's like a huge pop-o-matic. Those dice are actually rolled kind of and generated, and they're real. They're jumbo. They're like 4 inches, you know, in diameter. They're still... not as cool as...
Wouldn't you rather roll those 4-inch dice, though, push a button and have the
totally,
computer roll them
I totally
for you?
Would, but the first time I walked by, I went, whoa, that's cool, a giant pop-o-matic.
What I always imagine is the Price is Right.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Giant-sized craps.
Absolutely. Well, that was kind of fun to talk about maybe the state of where dice may be going, which is kind of interesting. But now it's time to talk about today, the stuff that you found here at the con. And I know you found a ton of stuff, so we'll highlight just a few things that you thought were special.
Absolutely. We'll come back to the Crystal Cask.
Awesome.
Bravest Warrior. I believe that's Cryptozoic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Something called Adventure Maximus by Eden Studios.
I don't know that game.
Neither.
And we're talking about games here at Gen Con that come with custom dice in them.
More unique dice, yes.
Exactly.
Something called Monster Derby.
Another one that's under my radar.
Q Workshop. They have Monty Cook's The Strange dice.
Nice.
And for, I believe this is the first convention with it, they have the new style of Nuke.
Why don't you explain those?
Well, Nuke was an old style that they, one of their first styles 10 years ago. And if you remember Q Workshop dice when they were almost like spheres,
very round.
Nuke was one of those colors.
They have
come out with, it looks more post-apocalyptic than the old ones did.
Excellent.
And it's a very nice design. I'm very much enjoy them.
Cool.
They now have Iron Kingdoms in the box, if the box means anything to you.
Okay, nice.
But that was about all I... they now have the metal steampunk dice in brass and in copper.
Oh, sweet. Because the previously the colors were just steel?
Well,
or...
yeah, they had steel and then they had the plastic ring.
Right, exactly.
Alrighty.
Excellent.
Mercs from right here in Indiana,
absolutely.
Indianapolis.
Yay. Absolutely.
They have their new game called Conflict.
Right.
Lots of dice in there. Don't even know how to play the game.
You're not going to just... Now, before we started recording, you said... You just burn some of these games sometimes, which kills me. So
there's a little tear welling up in Dave's eye.
Well, you are more than welcome to have the games minus the dice.
No, yeah. That's I might as well just burn them then.
That's about it. Okay. I believe it's called Unita.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes.
Is that Asmodee?
I think it's Asmodee, yeah. Yep.
And Desperados by Asmodee.
Yeah.
There's a ton. I'll have to see those dice. I haven't. They're here at the show, mm-hmm. the ones from Unita. I haven't seen those because I know that they are printed on and not etched in, is at least what I think. So I need to take a peek at those.
I don't recall.
But there's a ton of them. They're actually dice that aren't used for dice in that particular game. They're actually your forces that are moved around a board. It's a really funky little game.
Desperados.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
From Steve Jackson, the hipster dice. They sold out by noon.
Oh, yeah. No surprise there.
Let's see. What is next? From Inkwell Designs. I don't remember if you remember their Dungeon Morph dice.
I do not.
They are these excellent, very detailed dungeon maps on about a 1-inch cube.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, by
yes.
Q Workshop.
Yes,
I do now
and
know what you're talking about.
And their first edition... had the walls, the dungeon, the stone, uh-huh. as just these little slashes. They have reissued at least the first set
mm-hmm.
where it is actual stones that are etched in.
Oh, nice.
So there's a very different look to them, and I really
Sweet.
Like them. Joe Wietzel is the one behind that.
Okay, excellent.
From Ninja Dice.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
The crew that was following me around...
Uh-huh.
The three of us bought the last three of
Ooh.
The Iron Ninja sets.
Ooh, sweet.
But it's the steel version of, or maybe aluminum,
uh-huh.
Ninja Dice.
Nice.
Very nice. They had a couple of others that did it. This is a very obscure vendor, but I've known them for many years. Thomas the Lapidary.
Okay, I don't
He's
know them.
Down on row one.
Okay.
They... cut, well, a lapidary, obviously, cut stone.
Yep.
Well, they have some beautiful cut stone dice down there, and they're also, because Thomas is a master smith, he has some brass stick dice, like they've had
Ooh.
In India for many
Ooh.
Years.
Oh, that's cool.
And they've got them for sale as well.
Oh, I'm gone.
How did we miss those?
Can you guys finish the rest of this yourselves? I'm
yeah.
out of here.
Let's see. Last year, I purchased a grip ton
yeah.
of Alter Reality Games logo dice.
Oh, okay.
Well, they had more with a new logo this
oh,
year.
Okay.
So I got some of those. Tiny little game when I took the box apart. This was obviously a handmade box called Pocket Bit Crawl.
I am not familiar with that at all.
They're sticker dice, but they
okay.
were not that expensive.
Okay.
And that was a cute little game. And then, of course, I keep drifting back by Asmodee
uh-huh.
and seeing different things, and I had to pick up Seasons.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, those are
Those
some
dice
pretty fun.
Are really sharp,
yep.
I think.
From Studio 9, Treasures and Traps.
Yep.
See, I'm trying to remember who makes Mage Wars.
Mage Wars is Arcane
Wonders.
Arcane
Wonders.
Arcane Wonders has six colors of Mage Wars dice.
Oh.
Excellent.
They don't have the red because that was only available to the actual playtesters.
Oh.
And it looks like I'm at the end of my list.
Excellent. But we have some gorgeous
yeah.
dice to kind of end up on here that are beautiful.
I'm hoping these are all going to become production. I'm afraid... Very often they can't get the raw materials to make them because Crystal Cast is a master of actual semi-precious or stone.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, because howlite yeah. is not a stone.
There's some of the semi-precious stones they've had for quite a while that is available all the time, but there are some special ones that are usually never available or very rarely available, and you have some of those today.
Well, I'm hoping that all of these are going to become production.
That would be fantastic, because some of them are. Why don't you go ahead and just start and explain the different styles here.
Michael Bowling has come up with a process by which he can take quartz dice.
Right.
And he is able to, I don't even know what you call it. It almost looks like electroplating. Because yeah, this looks like titanium's rainbow.
It does.
Yeah.
They look like metal, but they are actually quartz dice.
They're all really? Quartz. I mean, some look metal, some look glass. How he's making quartz have all those looks to them.
So my some sort of finish that they're applying to the quartz after production,
you think?
Or?
No, I think they're electroplating them.
Oh, okay. Yep, that makes sense.
I think that's how they're getting the metallic sheen to them.
Yep.
Yeah, those are really nice.
It looks like a pile of gems and jewels sitting on the table.
Yeah, it really does. I'd like to say that I'm going to go over and buy some, but somebody we know just bought them all.
Well, no, there are some still available. There were only, I think, three that I bought the only one of.
Oh, cool.
There's a moonstone line, and they've got a rainbow moonstone and a white moonstone.
Those are really nice, very opalescent-y. If anybody knows moonstone, it's really nice.
But the ones that are most impressing me are the dyed howlite.
Right.
I have for many years had a turquoise dyed howlite.
Okay.
And I was quite impressed with it, because if I ever got them mixed up with their actual turquoise set, I'm doomed.
You might not exactly.
I want to super glue the bag closed just so I don't get them mixed
now,
up.
Now, I'm not familiar with howlite.
Howlite is just a common stone. I don't know that much about it, but I know it's not, you know, expensive.
Okay.
We need Francie here, the jewelry maker who deals in...
Exactly. But they're making these. Look, I mean, those are really cool. They've got some fun red, purples, teals, and that kind of stuff. And like I said, the turquoise looking one, really cool.
I'm surprised by the moonstone, because that's a hard... I would think that would be a hard stone to get nice, sharp edges with.
Yeah, aren't moonstones pretty soft?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it'd almost be like making a die out of soapstone.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right. Or chalk.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get one roll out of them.
That's about it.
And then there on the end?
There on the end, we have two new colors of dwarven metals.
Nice.
This is the brass dwarven metal.
Cool.
And
super,
this is
super shiny.
The sterling silver.
Sterling silver.
Plated. Dwarven metals.
Nice. Now, what we'll probably ask
very
is
shiny.
They are shiny. They're gorgeous. Sterling silver plated. Seems like those might set you back just a little bit.
As I recall, they were like $50.
About $50,
which
and that's
is about
a
the
standard polyhedral set. So,
you know, but it's the standard price of the dwarven stone dwarven
right.
metals.
Yeah, exactly.
Dice.
Exactly. Very cool. Well, man, once again, you have brought us so much stuff. Hopefully, all you guys out there, we're starting to get you excited about as excited as we are here about dice, and we always enjoy visiting with Kevin. So, before we run away, is there any other things you would like to share dice wise before we run away and set a date for next year?
Not that I can think of.
I have one
you
question.
You never know.
I have one question.
Oh, please.
Are there dice on the horizon? Is there a specific style or die or something coming down the pipe that you're really excited about?
There are a lot of dice in the pipeline, because a lot of people here just say, oh, I don't have that for sale yet.
Right.
Exactly.
But is there one style or type or something that you've seen, you know, pre-production things that you're just, ooh, I can't wait to have that one in my hot little hands?
I'm trying to think. There's so many that I'm waiting for. Well, I'll say this much. The one that I actually came to the convention to pick up and decided not to, because I would be depriving of somebody of the game.
Oh, really?
Was King of New York.
Oh, right, right. Because there's
very few copies.
There's going to be two new colors of dice.
I'm not sure.
Eventually, because I think there's going to be an expansion. There's
so.
The one color that comes with, and then there's going to be another color, like with the Halloween when
right,
it came
exactly
out.
Like with the Halloween.
So I think there's something like that is planned. So there'll be a couple sets of those guys to buy.
Yeah, but they should be available.
Oh, yeah,
retail by October or November.
I think they've learned from King of Tokyo how popular it is, and we're going to get flooded with those here very soon. So that's nice. So Kevin, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy your three pass schedule to see every single booth here and every single die. And we're looking forward to talking to you in future years for sure.
It's always one of the highlights of Gen Con for us, I think.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
You're quite welcome.